Okay, today's class, good morning. Today's class is, in the whole month, is sponsored by Yaakov Nekatalov for his merit of his sons, and merit for him to have success in all areas of his life. Also, Rafu Shalema of Heleni, Orna, Batchena Chana. This is a two-year-old that unfortunately is in critical condition that needs everybody's prayers. And today's class is also in the success of Yer Shemayim V'l'Sheva Banavah, Gadil V'l'Sheva, Emet V'l'Sheva, Shefa V'l'Sheva, Reda Malka V'tovasha, Gadil V'l'Sheva. Not so happy to be back from Eretz Yisrael. Usually, he said, I'm happy to be back. You know, when you go to the Dubai, London, it's happy to be back. But Eretz Yisrael is such a special trip. And we're yearning to go back. We have the event in May in L.A. And we have the event in June in, God willing, New York. Please share me at the podcast. Today, we have an amazing, amazing book called Eye to the Infinite. One of the books that I picked up. And this book is written by Aaron Rubin, I believe. So this book, there's a great concept here. The book is excellent, but it's also very, very practical. A person, he starts by taking a Baikra Rabbah, and he says, a person sees out of the black of his eye. God says, out of darkness, I make for you light. There's always a famous Gemara that says, that all blessing is only found in that is hidden, right? We always say that blessing is found that is hidden. So basically, what he's telling us here is the blessings in our life are found when they're hidden. When in the struggle itself, in the problem itself, that is where the actual blessing is. The revelation is only a result, but the real blessing is happening in the hiddenness. How do we turn this? How do we make this flip? How do we really take this flip? Obviously, the challenges that we're going to today, it's insurmountable challenges in all areas of our lives, global, everywhere, in a person's home, in the world, Eretz Yisrael. It's just insurmountable challenges right now, and God is forcing us to get into bittul. God is forcing us to get into surrender. We know that famous verse in Tehillim that we always say, Me'ayin yavo esri, from where will my help come from? That means when a person doesn't even know where his help will come from, but he connects to the name Me'ayin, the name of hiddenness, that's where his help will come from. The same concept of Mahayin, and what do I know? When he says, what do I know? God will give him knowledge. When he becomes so vulnerable and says, where will my help come from? From where? Then God will give it to them. So you can see both of these words are very simple words, but they're both showing the same thing, that we're so dependent upon God. We're so dependent, and we're completely zero without His help. That is really the goal. If you look at the whole concept of all these teachings, it's all about developing dveikus, developing yearning, and the yearning itself, which we're going to talk about again. So he talks about here how to nullify the ego. The book is about 25 chapters. But each one has a specific meditation, specific situation. This specific meditation talks about how to nullify the ego. And what's the purpose of the ego, etc., etc. So he says, the experience of the divine frees a person from the engagement in psychological illusions, fears, paranoia, struggles, all kinds of suspicions, worries. This is all coming from our distorted ego. So basically, to the degree that we minimize our ego, we see clearer pictures. But what happens is when the ego becomes very fearful, it expands, and it doesn't allow you to see the light, right? That's the whole thing. When you become fearful, the ego, instead of just becoming a vessel, being part of the black of your eye, it becomes the everything is black. And Sam, we all have the iris in our eye, which is the black part. So it's minimal. It's to engage, because too much light would be shattering the vessels. So, but when the ego is bigger than what it is, it becomes the source of everything, and then it blocks out the light. You know, Reb Nachman always said in Lesson 133 that basically, if you put a coin, imagine if I put a coin in front of a Sefer Torah, what am I going to see?
The Sefer.
No, I'm going to see the coin.
Really?
Yeah. If you put a small object in front of a big object, you will see the small object. The small object is blocking, even though it's such a small object, it's blocking the bigger object. So to the degree that we stop becoming self-centered, again, this we're giving today just the instructions, and then the work has to begin. All I do is give instructions. And the reason either we're all getting whether or not we're getting success in the classes is all I do is give instructions. All I do is these books give instructions. They give you hope. They give you optimism. But boy, does the work begin by yourself. And I realize that. So whether or not you're getting the transformation or not is if you're taking the instructions, potential, and you're taking into actual. That's it. I give you potential. I can only give you potential. Anytime you listen to anything positive, it's potential. You know, just because you hear a video from David Goggins of working out, doesn't mean your butt's going to be in the gym. It doesn't mean you're physically going to the gym and pounding weights. Yeah, you heard of it, you moved, it's in potential. But our job is to really take potential into actual. So listening and then action. Listening and then action, etc. And remember, we potential itself is a very short span. It means we have a very short span when you get inspired. It's called anytime we get inspired, it's a light of the infinite that comes to us. So that inspiration, you know, you get that 10, maybe you'll get, you know, a couple of minutes, 5 minutes, and then boom, it's gone. It's gone. So that's why it's extremely important to take advantage of inspiration and do something when you are inspired, because otherwise that inspiration just comes in and then it comes out again. And all you're doing is becoming an adrenaline junkie for more inspiration. You understand? Action is what causes inspiration. Inspiration, action causes more inspiration, etc. The ego's primary function is to be a servant to the soul. But if the ego, however, when it's disconnected to the soul, when it's in discordance with the soul, the ego experiences its own smallness and vulnerability and tries to protect itself by expanding. You know, very similar to the concept of the moon, etc. The ego expands when there's insecurities. Right, so just like anything else in our lives, when we're insecure, what do? We double up our efforts to try to protect ourselves more, which what does it do? It blocks out more light in our lives, right? Like the more you're controlling, the more you try to control more and more and more, which blocks out the whole, any kind of light in your life. When you give up control, then the light starts coming back. So either every function of our lives is either we are blocking it in, we're letting it in or letting it out. The ego is the outer manifestation of the sphere of Malchus, okay, which is the vessel. The tree of good and evil, this idea is what gives the soul the light, the tree of life. Otherwise, if the inappropriate becomes avodah zara. So this is where he came up with a really, really amazing concept. So he says there's three concepts. The I, like the actual I. The I, as an I, and the ayin. What he's telling us here, self-negation, if you take the word self-negation itself, right? Either you're functioning with the ayin, that means it's the same word ayin, can be spelled with an aleph or an ayin. They both, one means an eye and one means completely surrender. And if you look at the difference between the aleph and the ayin from the Ben Ish Chai, he says that's the root of all of our problems. The root of all our problems is when we, if you look at the ayin is 70, the aleph is 1. So 70 minus 1 is 69. 69 in Hebrew is the word yagon, which means worry, which means disassociation, which means fragmentation, which means yagon, sadness, from the first curse of Adam. Our job is to go connect to the ayin, the oneness, instead of ayin, which is the seeing life through your own perspective. That means when I'm seeing things the wrong way, it teaches me that I have to go back to surrendering. There's a great analogy that there's 3-4 people touching an elephant in different parts of the elephant. One's touching the trunk, one's touching this, and all 4 of them describe the elephant completely different. How does an elephant, they're all blind, and they all describe the elephant completely different, because they're touching the elephant, in 4 different areas. It means one sees the trunk, one sees, you know, the tail, one sees, so they all have a different perspective. And again, this is where our job is to really work on this. And what he's saying here is self-negation. Listen to this. Self-negation is the eye of the infinite. That means if I want to get close to the infinite in my life, if I want to get close to the light of the Orient Self, if I want to get close to anything, The solution is to get is self-negation, which means surrendering. Surrendering is what gets you closer to the infinite. is the door to the experience of godliness. Spiritual blessing, which is a manifestation of the inner infinite reality, is conveyed through the nullification of the physical. Right? For example, when we fast, right? What happens? We become much more spiritual because we negated our food. The more you negate, and we're not telling you to become a monk, we're not telling you to become a... We're telling you that you have to have healthy relationships to recognize with money, food, and sex, all three of them, to the extent that you don't have a good relationship with these, and you're not negated to these, these things have control over you, that blocks the light of the infinite in our lives. And this is where he's saying here, blessing is only found in which what is hidden. Revelation takes place within the vacuum of self-constrictions, the removal of self. So just like God created the world, what did he say? As soon as he wanted to create the world, the second move that he made is he created a tzimtzum. He created a vacated space to allow man to create. The same thing in our lives. When we are in a situation, to the extent that you negate yourself, not out of low self-esteem, is to make room for possibilities. To the extent that I think I know everything, I cannot make room for possibilities. If I don't make room, right, there's no possible that my creator can fill that space. And that's where, to the extent where we develop, we're too controlling, we're too fearful, there's very little space for our creator to communicate with us. So what we have to do is we have to constantly work on the work of surrendering, letting go. And by letting go, we're letting God. That's exactly what we keep on saying. Because that itself is the blessing. The blessing is when you let go, not where, in Tel Aviv, I had a class where about completely being aggressive with our prayers. Being aggressive as possible. But what's going to get it answered is the actual letting go of it. The same thing in the law of attraction. Seeking what we want. But at the same time, we have to let go of it also. Because that's the problem. Because if we don't let go of it, then we're actually controlling the process. So the letting go is actually what causes things to actually to come to fruition. If we don't let go of it, then we're still controlling it. Then we're playing God. Then there's no room for godliness. Then there's no room for miracles. There's no room for possibilities. You know, how many times that people have gotten, you know, my mother's a great example. She couldn't have kids for a while after me and my sister. Couldn't have kids for a while. She basically, 20 years later, she says, you know, I'm just going to take it a foster kid. What happened? She got pregnant. You understand? Wow, it's right. Not possible for her to get pregnant. Why? Because you let go of it. How many times people get pregnant when they adopt kids? You know how many times that happens? How come? Because you let go of it. You let go of it. You let go of it. You created a space. You created a makom. And that's why the real milchama today, the real war that we're in today, is to be a melech ma, is to be a king of surrendering. That is the war we're all in today. That's the war. That's why you say milchama. Milchama means a war. King of ma, king of humility, king of surrendering, king of giving it over to God. That's the war today. You're funny. In the same war, you're talking about the same concept of war, but you're also talking about letting go. And he's saying here, all eyes wide, because he's saying here, revelation takes place within the vacuum of self-constriction, the removal of the self. God gives us constantly, as we say that, what do we say that? We say that verse in Tehillim. What do we say? All eyes look up to you, towards you, and you give them sustenance at its time. We say that all the time. What he's saying here, however, the receipt of the shefa needs to be facilitated by the receiver forming a vessel, the spiritual vessel, that is formed through longing for God and connecting to Him. So the practicality is the more I long towards God in these situations that I'm in, that's what's actually creating the vessel. It's not the situation, it's the fact that I'm so helpless in the ability to save myself, to recognize I cannot help myself unless you help me. That means the key to getting our prayers answered is really, really your dependency on how helpless you are in the situation. And recognizing you are helpless. It's not about sitting with a book and trying to match the right gematria and the right this and the right that's not. It's recognizing, oh my God, I'm so desperate. I'm so desperate, just like an addict is. I'm powerless over this addiction. I'm powerless of my ability to save myself. I'm powerless over my ability to save my worries and my anger issues. That is what causes this longing. And what he's saying here is because, what is he saying here? He says the word kasher yichanula, the same word. We have longed for you. If you look at the first three letters of the word, it's keli. Kasher yichanula. I've longed for you. In Hebrew, those first three letters is the word keli, right? Another one. And he's saying here, no man can see him. There's a pasuk that says, Kilo yiranu hadam b'chai. No man can see while it's living. No man can see. Talking about, again, surrendering is the same word, the three words, keli. So we make the keli, we think we're making vessels through running. We're making vessels through surrendering, which is completely the opposite of what life teaches you. It teaches you, what does life teach you? Survival of the fittest. That does exist in the world of nature. But the world of spirituality and the world of Kabbalah and the world of godliness, it's absolutely the opposite. Our job really is to connect ourselves to our life's purpose and to connect to the best version where our mazal would have the best influence in our lives. And what happens is you're going to get there through a lot of midlife crises, because you're destined to become here. This is your up. Doesn't mean that that's the place where you make $1 billion. Let's get the money out of the way. It's where you are the most useful for the world, and your neshama and your soul can become the best version of themselves. God has to take you on a wild chase. If you accept the crashes and you accept all these situations in your life for the best, then you end up getting to the right place in life. That's called being happy, and that's being happy is being in purpose. But if you take these crashes that are going to us, and we're balking at them, and we're saying, no, I can't handle this, I don't want to deal with this, I can't deal with this, then we never hit full potential. And our job is to really, really hit for full potential. So this is where he's saying here that the greater the darkness, the greater the potential for revelation. And this is where the word ayin means nothingness. Ayin with an ayin, with an aleph. Ayin means to see, means eye. So when you're too stuck in the eye, you have to go into the ayin. When things become too self-centered, it's because you're not surrendering enough. Extremely difficult. And this is the same way where we say, giving, we spoke about giving. You have to create space. You have to give space between response and reactions. Another meaning for ayin is that God negates him. As a father holds him back, allows his child to develop, God hides himself in the infinite essence to make space for his creations. So again, the same way God created the world, right away he made a tzimtzum. Right away he made a contraction. And the contraction itself is what makes the vessel, what creates a new reality. Because if God was completely full of light, we would have no purpose in existence, because we would have no choice. We would have no free choice. God had to create a constriction to allow us to have the ability to choose right versus wrong, which would allow, elevate the malchus. Because otherwise, if there's too much light, there would be nothing for you to do in this world, and you would be completely bored and purposeless and have no meaning of nothing, because there would be no evil. But our job in this world, after God created the tzimtzum, what happens in the shattering of the vessels? The shattering of the vessels were purposely created so there'd be too much light, and what fell from those shattering of the vessels is what allowed evil to exist. So what we have to do is we have to turn the evil back to good. That's practically our mission in our lives, by dealing with individuals, sparks, etc. And this is where he's saying here that when we are connecting to the Aleph, if we're too self-centered, it's because we need to go connect to Ayin. It's because we're not making space. Let's say we're too worried about that business deal not going through. Then you need to create space. Maybe it's not supposed to be good. Maybe it's not supposed to happen. Or that relationship is not supposed to happen. Whatever you're supposed to try as much as you can, aggressively, to try something. But then, if it's out of your hands, get it out of your head. We have to, again, be aggressively hitting the goal, but at the same time, allowing possibilities to happen. If we don't allow possibilities to happen, that means you can't just be completely... God forbid you have a person really sick. You can't say, I'm not going to the doctor. I'm just going to rely on a miracle. I'm just going to surrender. No. You have to do as much as you can, but then you have to give up control of it. You have to do what you can in that relationship to fix it, but then you have to give control because maybe it's not meant to happen. Maybe this is not the best situation that's meant for you in the long run. And the way we get a taste of that infinite light is by constantly closing our eyes to Ayin, where we say, from where will my help come from? Not out of no responsibility, but recognizing I cannot help myself. And this is where he's saying here, there's two types of seeing. There's seeing through the neshama, and they're seeing through the ego. When you're seeing through the neshama, you have empathy. When you're seeing through the ego, you become critical. So whether or not we're critical of each other, and instead of having empathy for each other, is whether we are seeing through, which eye are you seeing? Are you seeing through ayin, or are you seeing through ani? Are you seeing through self-centeredness, or are you seeing through that? And that's ultimately, again, that's ultimately, if you look at this whole root of everything, it's the ability to recognize that whatever is blessing is hidden from the eye. What we think, and again, I cannot express to you how difficult this is when you are in the challenge itself. Right now, we're sitting here, 8 o'clock Thursday morning, in Miami, 72 degree weather, everything's wonderful. But when you're in that emotional storm, and all your ego wants to do is go crazy and just shoot and kill the messenger and just block out any ayin and any bittul in any situation, and you're just nothing but whatever's in front of you at the moment knocked down, that's what happens. And that's where you have to, the importance of Hasidus is never attacking the issue right away. It's really doing it the next morning through proper prayer and meditation and stepping away from it. Stepping away from the issue and saying, "Me ayin yavo izri, where will my help come from, Creator of the world? I did what I could. I prayed for it, I gave charity, I did this, but at the end of the day, it's up to you whether or not where you want to take this. And if you do that, then you'll see whatever's supposed to happen will happen for the best. But if we are too controlling, if we're too obsessed with it, and we don't make space, then nothing can happen. Because even if it did happen, there's no room for allowing it to happen. You know, very similar to the male and masculine relationships today. The female's issue today is not creating space, allowing the husband in, allowing backing off from control and allowing possibility to happen. Not because a person made a mistake or a person did it, it's too controlling. Forgiveness allows to make space for people. Creating space, allowing a space, taking out of yourself and allowing a possibility. So may God help us all. We should all merit to the nekud, this nekuda of this, connect to this ayin, and know how to, and remember, it's a war to be humble. It's a war. It's in the name, milchama. Koach ma is the wisdom, is to have wisdom is to have humility, but not to be lazy and not to be not trying. It's to go out there, cry out to your Creator, but let go of the results. And creating that space. That is what happens. That's exactly what Reb Nachman says. And that's exactly the Reb Nachman. There's another book that says miracles happen. And how does the tzara, how does the problem become the zohar? Is when you let it go. When you let it go and let God. So may God help us all. That we should all merit. And that may the soldiers finish what they need to do in Rafah. And may they not be hurt. And may God willing the hostages come home. And may Am Yisrael be united. And may our enemies be dissipated. Amen.
Amen. Amen.